Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, I'm looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy Wednesday, a.k.a. Hump Day to you all. It is July 10th, 2019, and yes, you are locked into WKAR's current sports. Thank you so much for tuning in right here on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. You may be live streaming the show right now at facebook.com/WKAR News, or you may be listening courtesy of WKAR.org. However you tuned in, thank you so much. A lot to get to on today's current sports, and as promised, on the Tuesday edition of the show, I'm going to dive just a bit. I'm gonna stick my toe in the water when it comes to some college football talk, all right? Because, you know, this is the time of the year, right in the smack dab middle of the summer, July 10th, where, you know, you start chomping at the bit a bit, you know what I mean? You know, you start thinking about college football being around the corner, nothing really going on other than baseball, and you can just feel it at this point. It's like, please, sports gods, give us something. And here in the Mid-Michigan area, being here on the campus of Michigan State University, I always hear, walking around town, Al, I cannot wait for college football. I cannot wait to talk some Michigan State gridiron football. So I'm going to do that today, just a bit. I want to talk about the odds. Because, again, this is what happens. You know, writers sit around and they know that they have to give the college football fans at least a taste around this time of the year. So you start to read all of these predictions, these way too early season predictions for teams across the board in the world of college football. And I have been quite surprised to read a few of the predictions centered on the Michigan Wolverines. So I'm going to give you the latest odds concerning Michigan State and Michigan, and I'm going to read a few publications and let you know what they have to say concerning the Wolverines. Because many, many national columnists out there in the world of college football have the Wolverines doing pretty well. I'll just say that for 2019. Also, Adam Silver, he took the podium yesterday for his annual NBA Summer League press conference. And you knew he was going to address it. The craziest, what has become the craziest NBA free agency offseason we have ever seen. Adam Silver weighed in on NBA free agency, and you guys know me. I've been a very big fan of Adam Silver for quite a long time. I think that he has done a great job taking over, you know, that title of NBA commish that was once held by the great David Stern. Adam Silver, in a few ways, I think, has elevated the product that is the association. But I wasn't feeling what he had to say when it came to NBA free agency. I'll explain. Trust me, you don't want to miss that chat. And how about the United States women's national soccer team? As we all know, they got the job done beating Netherlands over the weekend to capture the FIFA Women's World Cup title yet again. Dominance, thy name is USA. The parade was held this morning and went a little over, you know, the afternoon, just a little over 12, out in NYC as the city celebrated, and the city and our nation celebrated quite an accomplishment from these women. You know, one of the most dominant teams we've ever seen in American sports. I'll play to you just a snippet of what team captain Megan Rapinoe had to say. Megan, the clear leader of this squad, you know, the clear star of this team. You know, she had a pretty epic speech, and I'll play to you a snippet of what she had to say. But I also want to put in perspective just how dominant this year's Women's World Cup team truly was. All right, so we'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you all, beautiful people, to be a part of the hour, multiple ways in which you can weigh in and join the fun. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News and comment right below the live stream there. And you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News, and you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your quick hit headliners. I just want to pass along an update when it comes to Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am Basketball. Gotta love it. Again, every Tuesday and Thursday in Diamonddale, Michigan at the Aim High Sports Complex. Three games every Tuesday and Thursday. And last night, we saw in Game 1, Team Freeze defeat Team Cosmic 116-96. Julius Marble for Team Freeze led the way with 39 points, 13 boards, 3 assists. He was 14 of 23 from the floor. Aaron Henry, also playing for Team Freeze, he had 28 points, 12 boards, and 3 assists. Of course, Marble and Henry, looking forward to watching both of them play for Michigan State. Cassius Winston, he played for Team Cosmic. Again, Team Cosmic coming on the short end of the stick there. 26 points for Cassius, though, 10 of 32 from the floor, 2 of 16 from deep, 10 rebounds, and 3 assists for him. In Game 2, Team Citron taking on Team Roots, and Citron pulling out the narrow victory, 89-84 the final there. Xavier Tillman for Team Roots had 32 points, 10 boards, 4 assists. Marcus Bingham Jr. for Citron had 21 points, 5 of 9 from deep, 7 boards for him. And Greg Roy, how about Greg Roy for Citron, 14 points, 8 boards. And in Game 3, Team Dimension beat Team Exclusive, 114-99. Thomas Wilder of Team Dimension, he had 50 points, 9 rebounds, 20 of 29, efficient from the floor. Connor George for Team Exclusive, he had 23 points, 5 of 10 from deep, and 9 rebounds. Again, Moneyball League resumes on Thursday. All right, Nick Ward in the NBA's Summer League out in Las Vegas. His Atlanta Hawks were able to pull out a victory over the Indiana Pacers Summer League squad. Nick Ward had 3 points with the win yesterday. And again, he has signed on with the Atlanta Hawks throughout the NBA Summer League. So Nick Ward, just not impressive so far in the NBA Summer League. You know, I think his high was like that Game 1 where he had like 8 or so points. Game 2, he only had 2 points. And then here we have Nick Ward putting up 3 points. So we'll see what happens. All right, the Gus Macker Tournament. Oh, beloved basketball tournament here in the state of Michigan. Used to play it all the time, play in it all the time growing up in Detroit. And the Gus Macker's triumphant return to the streets of Jackson last summer sparked up a passionate response from the surrounding Southeast Michigan community. More than 500 athletes participated in last year's 3-on-3 basketball tournament, the first in Jackson since 2000, And those numbers are expected to grow headed into the second straight installment of the event, which kicks off on July 26th. Now, this is what event creator Kyle Leakey had to say. Quote, we're expecting about 80 more teams, 300 more athletes, and hopefully thousands of more crowd members this year. Awesome stuff. So registration is open. If you want to test your basketball prowess against talent across the great state of Michigan, again, second straight year, we are seeing this Gus Macker tournament return to Jackson. You can register. Registration is open. Awesome stuff there. All right. The MLB All-Star Game, 4-3. The American League pulling out the win yet again. I believe it's something crazy like the AL's seventh straight dub over the NL in the Fall Classic. And I have a few points I want to make concerning what I watched last night during the MLB All-Star Game. I do want to note that Cleveland Indians' own Shane Bieber, he was named as the All-Star Game Most Valuable Player. All right, sad news here concerning a former Detroit Red Wing. Greg Johnson, one of, he's also a former Nashville Predator, one of the franchise's actually original players. He died yesterday at his Michigan home, according to his former agent. And Johnson was 48 years old. The cause of death was not provided, but oh so young. Greg Johnson passing away at the age of 48. This is what former Predators goalie Chris Mason had to say. Quote, Greg was a big part of establishing the identity of the franchise. Johnson was drafted by the Philadelphia Flyers in the second round in 1989, though he never played for them and was traded to the Detroit Red Wings after 4 years at the University of North Dakota and appearances with the Canadian national team. He began his NHL career with the Wings in 1993. But again, sad, sad news here. Again, cause of death not provided, but Greg Johnson passing away at the age of 48. All right, to less important matters. Some news concerning two Michigan State athletes. The Big Ten Conference announced the 2018-19 Big Ten Distinguished Scholar Award recipients. In all, 98 Michigan State student athletes were honored over 21 sports. The 2018-19 Class of Distinguished Scholar Award recipients includes more than 200 students who maintained a perfect 4.0 GPA during the previous academic term. Michigan State was led by 35 student athletes who completed the academic term with a 4.0 GPA. Wow. Awesome stuff there. And a big shout out to two Michigan State football players, Cole Chewins, who is majoring in finance, and also Jake Hartbarger, majoring in marketing research. So not just handling business on the gridiron, but also in the classroom as well. Absolutely love that. Okay, and an update when it concerns Wimbledon, as Rafael Nadal, I believe he's still playing right now against Query. But it looks like Rafael Nadal, he won the first set 7-5. Looks like he is going to pull out that one. We'll see, though. Don't want to speak too early. And Roger Federer, that one hasn't gone official just yet. But Federer is going to pull this thing out, I believe.
I don't know about that. He's winning. Up 2-1. He's down a break in the fourth set right now, though. So could go 5 sets.
Okay. And the guy who he's playing, I won't even attempt to pronounce his name.
That is Kai Nishikori. He's a top 10 player in the world, too.
Is he?
So we'll see. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's number 8. I'm seeing here. He's number 8. So keep us updated behind the glass when it comes to both of those matches. Engineer of the Wednesday edition of Current Sports, Jack Kerwin there. And Novak Djokovic. He pulled out a dub over Goffin in just dominance here. 6-4 in the first set, 6-0 in the second set, and 6-2 in the third set. And also, as I mentioned on yesterday's Current Sports, Serena Williams, she moved on, taking on Risque, beating Risque 2-1. So, all right. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, more on this moment in just a moment. But how about Team USA? The United States women's national soccer team coming together this morning out in New York City as thousands of supporters gathered along Broadway out in NYC to celebrate the United States women's national team following its fourth World Cup title. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, who announced the ticker tape parade after the women's win, he rode with stars Megan Rapinoe, Alex Morgan, Julie Ertz, and Carly Lloyd on a float with a globe bearing the words World Champions around its equator. Crystal Dunn, Tobin Heath, and another group of players rode with Governor Andrew Cuomo on a float carrying a model of New York skyline. And white confetti fell from the sky. And bagpipers played Amazing Grace and America the Beautiful. It really was an awesome, awesome parade this morning. I got a chance to check out most of it as I was prepping for today's show. And I'm going to play for you in just a matter of minutes some of the speech that Megan Rapinoe, the captain, one of the captains of this year's Women's World Cup winning team. I'll play to you what she had to say during her speech today, all right? And also, later on in the hour, I'm going to put in perspective just how dominant this year's team was. And I imagine they're probably flying in the air as I speak right now because that women's national team, they have to make it in time for the ESPYs tonight. That's right. It's the biggest night in sports in which you get to see some of the biggest stars in multiple sports, professionally and collegiately as well, even in the high school ranks, all under one roof. It's really cool stuff. I love watching the ESPY Awards, and I feel like every single year the ESPYs somehow, some way, find a way to make me cry and shed a tear. So, 2019 ESPY Award Show being held tonight as the athletes and celebrities will assemble at the Microsoft Theater out in Los Angeles, California. The event starts at 8 p.m. tonight. The ESPYs Award Show will take place on ABC. This will be the 27th edition of the ESPYs Award Show, and it will be hosted by one of my favorite comedians of all time, the great Tracy Morgan. So some of the awards have actually already been announced. Basketball Hall of Famer Bill Russell, he will receive the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. Marine Sergeant Christy Ennis has earned the Pat Tillman Award for Service. And high school football coach Rob Mendez will receive the Jimmy V Award for Perseverance. And Jim Calhoun will receive the Best Coach Award. So you'll get the chance to see all of those remarkable individuals and so many more honored tonight in the 2019 ESPYs. Can't wait for it. All right, that does it for your quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
We got to know that this is everybody's responsibility. Every single person here. Every single person who's not here. Every single person who doesn't want to be here. Every single person who agrees and doesn't agree. It's our responsibility to make this world a better place. I think this team does an incredible job of taking that on our shoulders and understanding the position that we have and the platform that we have within this world. Yes, we play sports. Yes, we play soccer. Yes, we're female athletes, but we're so much more than that. You're so much more than that. You're more than a fan. You're more than someone who just supports sports. You're more than someone who tunes in every 4 years. You're someone who walks these streets every single day. You interact with your community every single day. How do you make your community better? How do you make the people around you better? Your family, your closest friends, the 10 closest people to you, the 20 closest people to you, the most 100 closest people to you. It's every single person's responsibility. There's been so much contention in these last years. I've been a victim of that. I've been a perpetrator of that. With our fight with the Federation. Sorry for some of the things I said. Not all of the things. But it's time to come together. This conversation is at the next step. We have to collaborate. It takes everybody. This is my charge to everybody. Do what you can. Do what you have to do. Step outside yourself. Be more. Be better. Be bigger than you've ever been before. If this team is any representation of what you can be when you do that, please take this as an example. This group is incredible. We took so much on our shoulders to be here today, to celebrate with you today. And we did it with a smile. So do the same for us. Please, I ask you.
Some very candid words coming from one of the captains of this year's FIFA Women's World Cup championship winning team, Team USA, Megan Rapinoe. She's awesome. I've become a big fan of hers. She's so fun to watch. She is just all heart, all grit. Some like her, some don't. You know, she is not afraid to speak her mind. And, you know, she drew a lot of attention, you know, when she was on, you know, caught on camera, when she was asked by some reporter whether or not she would, you know, go to the White House if Team USA is invited and does, in fact, win the World Cup, which they did. And she basically said flat out no. Now, she used a word that I can't repeat here on our airwaves, but she was very adamant saying, no, I'm not going. And, you know, she's not a supporter of President Donald Trump. Also, she drew a lot of attention and defended her decision to kneel during the national anthem in solidarity with former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick. And I caught her on CNN yesterday. She was on CNN with Anderson Cooper on Tuesday night. And addressed why she decided to kneel and stand with Cap. And she said, quote, I think the protest is not comfortable ever. It's going to force people to look inward and question everything they thought that they knew. So Megan Rapinoe actually became the first white female to follow Cap's lead when she took a knee before a game with the Chicago Red Stars back in 2016. So, and, you know, she is not shy in letting it be known as well that she is a gay American. And, you know, she stands up for the rights of the LGBT community. I didn't even know this until yesterday. She is actually married to WNBA superstar Sue Bird. So, how about that? Megan Rapinoe. I'll have more on the dominance of the United States women's national soccer team in just a moment. But I do want to talk some college football. As promised, I just want to address what some of the national pundits out there are saying concerning this upcoming 2019 college football season for Michigan State and Michigan. And right now, I'll start with this. Looking at the betting lines that have been released for the Wolverines and the Spartans, and in comparison to what some publications feel about this upcoming year for the Wolverines, some Michigan football fans might not like the latest win total projection for Michigan. Bet Online released its expected college football win totals on Monday, and they are setting U of M's over-under at 9.5. That's second in the Big Ten behind Ohio State. They're setting that line at 10. So when it comes to Michigan State and Mark D'Antonio, Michigan State football's mark is set at 7.5 wins. And Clemson's over-under is actually the best in the nation at 11.5. The reigning national champion is followed by Alabama at 11, Oklahoma and Georgia at 10.5, Ohio State, Boise State, UCF, Washington at 10, Notre Dame, Texas, Army, and Memphis are with the Wolverines at 9.5 wins. So, and also, I want to throw out the other schools in the state of Michigan as well. Western Michigan, they're setting that win total at 7.5. Eastern Michigan at 6.5, and CMU at 4. So that's Michigan's MAC schools. All right. So, still, you know, looking at Michigan this year, you know, I was kind of taken aback. And we discussed this last week when 247 Sports, I guess they use like ESPN's FPI projection calculator, and 247 Sports predicts that Michigan will actually go undefeated this year. Undefeated, folks. So I was very taken aback when I read that. How about Phil Steele, who is the editor of the renowned College Football Preview magazine? He actually revealed his preseason top 25, and he has Michigan football at number 3. So he's got Michigan football at number 3, making the college football playoff. And he has Michigan right behind last season's national title teams in Alabama and Clemson. So, and again, that love didn't stop there. Again, he has Michigan in the college football playoff. And it don't stop there, folks. Phil Steele believes that the Wolverines also will go undefeated. And yes, they will beat Michigan State. You go undefeated, you got to win every game, right? They'll beat Michigan State. They'll win against Ohio State in late November. This is what Steele wrote. Quote, last year, Ohio State was a home dog for the first time in 7 years and pulled the upset. Yeah, and and this time the game is in Ann Arbor. Much improved. Now, again, this is what he goes on to say. This time the game is in Ann Arbor. Much improved offense. Michigan runs the table. That's what he says.
Much improved based on what?
Based on last year.
Yeah, but we haven't seen the offense, so how do we know it's much improved?
It's Phil Steele. Exactly, Jack. I'm right there with you, brother. And I will say this. If I had to give a prediction, Jack, and this isn't saying a lot, but I do believe that Michigan football is going to be better than last year, you know.
In terms of win total or as a team? Because they still won 10 games last year.
They did. As a team. Based on the depth chart that I see right now, I believe that next year's team for Michigan football, Jack, I believe this may be the best roster that Jim Harbaugh has had. That's arguable. That's arguable, but I believe it is. And we saw how things, you know, because they're losing players like Rashawn Gary, they're losing Devin Bush, Chase Winovich is gone, David Long. That's all going to hurt that defense. But Don Brown, I think, has a lot of depth and talent. But the thing that I don't believe in, and I won't believe it until I see it, I don't believe in the coaching prowess of Jim Harbaugh. I just, you know, all this hype that was surrounded around Jim Harbaugh when he first got to Ann Arbor and the press conference and, you know, national media going goo goo gaga. It was crazy. But he has won nothing. He hasn't been to a Big Ten championship game. They have not been, you know, again, if you don't make it to a Big Ten championship game, you have no shot at going to the college football playoff. You know, they have been absolutely owned by their rivals. I just don't believe in Jim Harbaugh. You know, and last season, after winning 10 straight games, you know, Michigan football fans, my gosh, they were convinced this was the year. This is the year, especially that Michigan is going to finally beat Ohio State. We're finally going to make this happen. We're going to go all the way to Indy and win the Big Ten title. And we all know what happened next. You know, Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines, they were absolutely destroyed in Columbus.
Ohio State just scored again, by the way. So they now did. They're up by 30.
Touchdown, Ohio State, right? Yeah. And then they lost 41-15 in the Peach Bowl to Florida.
Florida just scored again, by the way. It is now 48-15.
Right, exactly, right, Jack? So, and that means that for the third straight year, Michigan football ended with back-to-back losses. So, looking at the depth chart here, you know, they have some key players returning, most notably starting quarterback Shea Patterson, who needs to watch his Twitter fingers, it looks like.
That was fake.
Now, they do say it was fake.
It was photoshopped.
That's what I'm... Because, you know, we were talking about this with Connor yesterday. We had some fun with this on yesterday's Current Sports. If you missed that, go to WKAR.org. But before the show ended, I guess, you know, Connor did bring up the fact that, you know, this was a screenshot. And, you know, it had, like, a sexy background. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that looks like a Photoshop deal then. And Shea was very adamant that it was not him. It looked like, for a moment, though, that you know... It was a Kevin Durant deal.
It sure did. It wasn't until he pointed out that the handle was different. It had like two underscores and his only had one. It wasn't until there that I realized it was fake. Yeah, I thought it was real too.
I thought it was totally real. And I kind of... So the show began. I'm chewing out Shea Patterson. And then the show ends with, oh, hold on, Al. Oh, this looks photoshopped. So, yeah. That's the world we live in, 2019, man. But that's just... No matter how you slice it, that's just bad press all around, right, for... You know, you don't want that kind of distraction happening in the offseason, especially when it concerns your starting quarterback. But Shea, you know, Shea is returning. And Donovan Peoples-Jones, Tariq Black, Nico Collins, those are all, I believe, Jack, you know, NFL-type receivers. They're NFL-caliber receivers. So I think there's some talent on this team. Again, I just don't believe in Jim Harbaugh. And it just amazes me how, you know, when people put together these projections and they're, you know, people are throwing out these bold predictions, Michigan going to go undefeated next season. I just sit there and say, I mean, what are you basing this off of? Are you that delusional? Have you been watching the product that Jim Harbaugh has put out throughout his tenure in Ann Arbor? What makes you believe that this is going to be the year where they finally have some great success, let alone go undefeated? I just don't get it. I really will never understand it.
Well, here's the issue that I have, I guess.
Yeah,
is that you talked about, you know, their defense still being very talented. And I agree, they still have a lot of pieces on that defense, but you can't overlook what they've lost in terms of Chase Winovich, Rashawn Gary, David Long. And am I forgetting anyone? I'm trying to think. Other players on that defensive line, that front seven. You know, LaVert Hill's back, obviously. Kalik Hudson is back. So they have some talent returning there. The problem I have, Devin Bush, that was the other name
Devin
I was
Bush,
missing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the problem I have is, you know, that was prior to the last two games of the season, that was a top three, top five defense in college football, right? And I still think they're going to be decent this year, but they're not going to be a top five unit with the names that they've lost, I don't think. And so
those
now,
are some big names. Those
exactly.
aren't just like... Like, the oh, yeah, well, we can just next man up. You know
no,
I mean?
Exactly. And, I mean, Don Brown is well-regarded, although the narrative kind of changed on him last year when they gave up over 100 points in their last two games. Mm-hmm. But he's well-regarded as a defensive coordinator, so I still think they'll have a good unit. You know, they could have a top 10, top 15 unit in the country. The problem is, the way they won games last season, a lot of it revolved around their defense shutting teams out, smelling blood in the water, and making big plays.
Right.
I don't think you're going to see that to the same level next year. So, you know, the onus kind of shifts to the offense, which we haven't seen anything from in Jim Harbaugh's tenure.
Not
I mean, they
all.
Really haven't ever been impressive. They were best under Jed Fish in year one of Harbaugh's tenure, but he's never had an elite unit there. And so I think they're going to need to rely on that offense to win them some games next year. And, I mean, I just can't pick him to do that when I haven't seen the offense yet.
I'm with you on that, Jack. And, you know, the Wolverines, they entered last season's Ohio State game in Columbus really in the driver's seat. They were in the driver's seat to make a college football playoff appearance. You know, 62-39, that was the final of that game And I was actually, I attended the year prior to when, you know, Michigan couldn't get the job done again. And U of M actually hasn't beaten Ohio State since 2011. And has won just two of the last 18 annual meetings. Now will that change? I know that Urban Meyer, he's no longer the head coach in Columbus. That duty is now Ryan Day's and Jim Harbaugh. This will be his fifth season as head coach at U of M. 0-4 against the Buckeyes. If Jim Harbaugh, and I feel like a broken record right now, Jack, because I said the same thing entering his fourth season. Now he's entering his fifth. But I really feel like this season, I mean, if it didn't happen last season, it's got to happen this season, right? If he does not get the job done this season and they don't book a ticket to at least Indy this year, the talks about whether or not this is the right guy to lead this program have to ramp up times 20.
Wrong.
You don't think
they'll never turn on him? They'll never turn on him. They'll never turn on Jim Harbaugh. He's the savior. He's infallible.
Oh, no. It's got to be.
I agree with you.
4 years, come on, man.
No, I agree with you in that Harbaugh has disappointed through 4 years. But that fan base turning on him, unless they go 4-8, I don't see it.
Some have already.
Yes, I understand.
Some have
as a majority, I don't see it.
Yeah, as the majority of Michigan fans right now still believe
yes.
that Jim is the right guy.
And they still will next year, even if they don't get to Indy.
I don't know, man. I've talked to some that were so gung-ho about Jim going into last season. That have said, man, if he don't get the job done now, boy, we got to get him out of here. I don't know. We'll see. That's going to be we're going to see how the fan base reacts. If Michigan, and it all depends on what happens too. I think that when looking at last year's team, you know, undefeated heading into Ohio State, they probably looked at that and said, okay, well, we were still undefeated heading into Ohio State. If it's like an epic collapse.
They weren't undefeated. They lost to Notre Dame. Undefeated in the Big Ten.
Right. Undefeated in the Big Ten. That's what I mean. Undefeated in the Big Ten heading into that Ohio State game. It all depends on how the season goes as well. If they're like just completely embarrassed in some of those games and they lose to Michigan State and Ohio State for another year, I don't see how that fan base can defend this man anymore.
Besides, do you really trust Ward Manuel to find Jim Harbaugh's replacement? I wouldn't.
I don't know.
I wouldn't.
I mean, who's out there? I mean, that's a whole other discussion.
Well,
right?
If you're the University of Michigan, the hope would be that you could find someone, an up-and-coming coordinator or, a well-respected coach playing, you know, kind of working his way up, right? Coaching at a lower level. But, I mean, I can't say that I would trust Ward Manuel to find the next coach of Michigan football if they were to move on from Jim Harbaugh. So, yeah. I mean, I don't see it happening.
We'll see, man. Again, I have so much to say concerning next year's. So I really wanted to kind of pour through the schedule as well and compare it to Michigan State's. And I'll dive into a bit of Michigan State's projections from some media pundits out there and what they think of Michigan State and whether or not I agree with them. I'll do that on tomorrow's Current Sports. But I just don't get undefeated. Come on now, man. Come on. That's you're living in la-la land there. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I want to address what Adam Silver had to say during his annual press conference at the NBA's Summer League. He addressed free agency. I'm a big fan of Adam Silver, but I totally disagree with what he had to say about free agency and all of the movement that we've seen in this NBA offseason. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. A few comments coming in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Ben and Alex, I see ya. Ben says, Michigan is not going to go undefeated. I agree with you, Ben. Totally agree with you. I think that's a pipe dream. Alex, though, Alex has a curious comment here, Jack, and Alex says, I haven't really seen Harbaugh making too many bad coaching decisions. I don't know if that's sarcasm, Alex. I'm hoping it's sarcasm. I've known you to be a pretty smart, sports talk listener, judging from your comments in shows past, because I can just turn the page back to, November of 2018. And there were countless articles written about how the Wolverines could not finish in the red zone and how there was confusion from the sideline, from Jim Harbaugh and the offense when it comes to play calling, and Michigan constantly settling for field goal.
Turning the ball over five times against Michigan State in a monsoon because they kept throwing the football.
Exactly. I mean, we can go down the line.
Yeah, the fumble against South Carolina because he had a tight end lined up at fullback, and they handed it off to a tight end who fumbled it right away. I mean, getting brutally outcoached by Brian Kelly in that game last season against Notre Dame, where Notre Dame pretty much went in the tank the whole second half because they didn't think Michigan was going to catch up to him with that offense. We can go on and on.
On and on. Look, you did a great job, Jay. Looks like you just had that in the memory bank, just boom, one after another. I mean, come on now. So, yeah, Michigan going undefeated. I wouldn't sell the house there, Alex. That's all I'm saying. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, you can comment just like Alex and Ben have done on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can also weigh in on Twitter, tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, he held his annual Summer League press conference in Las Vegas last night and addressed a number of important topics facing the NBA's future right now, and you knew he had to comment on it. Trade request and free agency, because we have seen the most active offseason in American professional sports when it comes to the association and big stars requesting trades and free agents deciding to make big splashes and cause many of us to kind of shake our head and say, really, did that just happen? It's amazing. It's amazing what has happened in the NBA right now and the seismic shift of power and talent that has created a ton of parity across the board in the league. Silver told reporters that he finds the recent trend of trade requests disheartening and said that it's an issue that, quote, needs to be addressed. Regarding free agency, Silver said there is a lot of work to do around that aspect of the league. And he also noted and hinted that changes have to come in terms of a timeline. This is what Silver had to say, quote, "The one strong conviction I have is that we should not have rules that are not strictly enforced." So and he goes on to say that, something needs to be done when it comes to tampering and certain players meeting with certain, personnel and other players to discuss, where they want to take their basketball talents. You know what all this was? Because this was very surprising to me. Because the league has been so mobile, I believe, starting with the whole LeBron James, I'm going to South Beach move. When he decided to link up with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, it created a new era in the association, the era of mobility. And I haven't heard Adam Silver come out against mobility in the league until right now. Now, sure, he has enforced rules when it comes to tampering. And that's another topic for another day. I don't like the tampering rules. At the end of the day, I think that this is good for the NBA, and I think that the player, if he doesn't want to be somewhere, that player should have that power to say, I don't want to be here. Now I get it. You guys know I'm an old school basketball fan, too. I mean, I love the loyalty of the 80s and the 90s when you saw players play for a respective team for at least, 7 years and maybe their entire NBA career. That was like the norm back in the day. But when you look at the business of the league and the business, frankly, of professional sports in how some GMs and owners and coaches out there are willing to give up a superstar that has played years and years and given his blood, sweat, and tears to this organization and make a trade and ship that player to somewhere that maybe that player doesn't want to go. I mean, at the end of the day, that player has to look out for himself. So I totally get it. I.e., perfect example, what's happening with Russell Westbrook right now out in OKC. Russ has been the ultimate loyalist, probably the poster boy for loyalty in the NBA today. Balling out for the Oklahoma City Thunder for many, many years. Loyal to that fan base. And then it comes out that the Thunder were actually trying to ship Russell Westbrook and Paul George to the Toronto Raptors, a team that Russ clearly didn't want to play for. So with that being said, Russ has come out and said, you know what? I don't want to be here anymore. Yep. You tried to ship me. It's time I chuck the deuces and try to go somewhere else. At the end of the day, this is a business. Players more and more than ever now, understand that it is a business and I have to look out for myself. And I think the reason why Adam Silver came out during yesterday's press conference and said that we need more regulations when it comes to free agency and tampering, and it's, quote, disheartening to see the amount of trade requests that we are seeing in today's NBA. You know what that was? That was the NBA owners out there getting into Adam Silver's ear and saying, whoa, okay, we understand mobility, but this is way too much. Way too much. Something needs to be done, Adam. What are you going to do? Because this is hurting this team and that team. It's hurting my product and hurting my organization. Adam, you have to do something because we cannot stand for this. There's got to be some rules here. There's got to be some regulations here. And Adam bent a bit. He took that podium last night and said that something has to be done. I don't know what, because he didn't come up with a solution at all. He just said something needs to be done. It's disheartening. And that was it. Then he said, all right, I'm out. You know, like, okay, well, Adam, I didn't expect Adam first off, it did surprise me that he did say it. But with him saying that, I didn't expect him to come up with a solution right on the spot. But at least give me something more than that. It's disheartening and something needs to be done. I mean, come on. And at the end of the day, can you really, and this is why I hate the tampering rules, can you really fully enforce and fully control tampering? You know, how are you going to control an NBA superstar in the offseason, you know, having dinner with some said player? How are you going to know that conversation is happening? You know, are you going to have like a 007 James Bond agent following these superstars to see where they're going? You know, how are you going to monitor a phone call between two big-time stars like a LeBron James or an Anthony Davis, whoever it may be?
Well, they can control tampering if they want to.
How are they going to do that, Jack?
I mean, when a player signs a contract at 12:01 or whatever it is, the first day of free agency when the period first opens, you can assume that there was tampering there.
That's
because
assuming,
they'd already though. Well, but they'd already agreed to a deal. They'd signed a deal in the first minute of the session opening.
Well, all they
so they'd
just,
obviously been in contact before then.
Well, there's ways around that, Jack. They just wait a few hours, a day or two. And
no, I understand that, but that's not what they do right now. So I mean, I'm saying tampering. You can enforce tampering violations.
To a
they
degree.
Yeah, but they choose not to.
To a degree, man. I mean, you can't, unless you are like stalking these players and have their phones wired.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
It's
but
like
they can do a better job than they're doing right now. Absolutely.
I don't think they have to do any job because you know what? This is why. This is my ultimate point here. The NBA is being talked about more than ever in its offseason. How is that bad for business? The mere fact that we are seeing, I mean, I told you what I did during, you know, when NBA free agency open. I mean, ESPN dedicated, like, I kid you not, 4 straight hours of breaking news where superstars were going, and I've never seen that before. NBA TV did the same thing. Phones are blowing up. People are talking about it. I'm listening to, and I looked at the ratings of some of the you know, the national radio shows out there when it comes to, because NBA has been leading their broadcast during this free agency period these last, you know, few weeks. And the ratings are through the roof because people want to, you know, hear these national pundits talk about the movement in the NBA today. I mean, you are leading headlines nationally. Your product is being talked about across the board nationally. How is this bad for business? And you better believe with the shift in talent now and the parity that we now see in the league, you know, I broke down earlier this week how there are 8 to 10 teams that can legitimately go all the way and win an NBA Finals right now. It is as wide open as it's been pre-Golden State Warriors dynasty. I mean, it's amazing right now. So how is this bad for business? You don't have to do anything, Adam. If anything, you should be sitting back, you know, on vacation right now, sipping a pina colada, sitting there saying, yep, I'm feeling good, baby. The NBA is on the lips of everyone. And no, we're not talking about NBA Finals. We're not talking about playoffs here. It's amazing to me. So again, I think that the owner's gotten to Adam Silver's head here. And I think that's why he came out and made this statement. So, thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our final break. When I come back, I'll put in perspective just how dominant this year's United States Women's National Soccer Team truly was. World Cup champs, baby. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. We are now in the home stretch of this Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. And, you know, I began the show by addressing the parade that was held out in New York City today. And they're currently, you know, I'm sure they're in the air right now heading to Los Angeles to get to the ESPYs on time out in Los Angeles, California tonight. But, you know, this morning they were in New York City. Honored courtesy of a parade from the city, honoring this incredible 2019 Team USA World Cup squad. And, you know, looking at just how dominant this team was, I mean, we're talking dominance on a historical level here. So I just want to kind of just put in perspective just how dominant this team was. Here are five stats that show just how dominant the United States women's national team was in its run to the championship. Number one, they had the best goal differential in Women's World Cup history. In seven games, Team USA recorded 26 goals and four shutouts while allowing three total goals. Just three. 26 goals, allowed just three. The Americans' goal differential of 23 edged out Norway's 1995 Women's World Cup team for the top spot in the record books. That 1995 Norway team had a goal differential of 23-1. This year's U.S. team, 26-3. Also, no comebacks. The Americans never trailed in any of their seven World Cup matches. Really, no moments where you said, uh-oh. I mean, there was one. I forget who they played because we were live on the air when the game was happening. But, you know, they ended up pulling it out. It was like 2-1, the final. But never trailed. The Americans never trailed in any of those World Cup matches. Also, offense from the start. The United States' 26 goals are a World Cup record. Team USA had 132 shots and nine different goal scorers in the tournament. 132 shots, 58 on target. In its opening game against Thailand, Team USA broke three World Cup records, those records being most goals scored by any team in a World Cup match, 13, the largest margin of victory in a World Cup match, and most individual goal scorers in a single World Cup match, that being seven, and that drew some annoyance from some people out there, which I did not understand when they blew out Thailand in game one. That's where they set those three world records. I will never understand why people were just so annoyed about the dominance that they displayed against Thailand in that game. Hey, you want to stop us from celebrating? You know, you want to stop that celebration and stop that dominance and do something about it and stop, you know, the ball from going in the net. That's how I feel about it. But number four, in every game except the final, the Americans scored in the first 12 minutes of play. They scored in the 61st minute on Sunday. So in every game except the final one Sunday, they scored in the first 12 minutes. The Americans scored first in every single game. And number five, the top two scorers in the tournament came from Team USA's own Megan Rapinoe, who won the Golden Boot with 6 goals and 3 assists. Alex Morgan received the Silver Boot with 6 goals and 3 assists. Rapinoe got the nod because she scored more on a minute per goal basis, 428 to 490. So this team just absolutely remarkable, and you know, it was also just very cool to see this team on a national stage, ratings through the roof, and them vie for equal pay as well. You know, the U.S. soccer president, actually, he was booed because of the differential in pay in comparison to Team USA, the men's team, and the women's team. So, also the Cuomo actually signed law guaranteeing equal pay in New York. So just a big day in celebration of this incredible squad. Again, you'll get a chance to see them honored again tonight live on the ESPYs. Comedian Zone, Tracy Morgan hosting, along with many stars that will be in the building out in L.A. tonight. So I'm looking forward to that. Enjoy the show tonight. We'll be back at it same time, same place on the Thursday edition of Current Sports. Be easy, people.